Welcome to Money Myths Busted, the Real Estate Mirage. Debunking property investment myths. I'm fascinated by real estate, you know? It's such a tangible asset, but the market can be so unpredictable.
Exactly. I've always been drawn to the idea of building wealth through property, but the sheer number of myths surrounding it is, well, overwhelming.
It really is. So today we're going to tackle some of the biggest misconceptions head on. Like, is real estate really a guaranteed path to riches, or is it just a mirage?
A critical question, especially given the historical crashes we've seen. We'll explore the risks, the realities, and the role of speculation.
So first up, the myth that property always goes up in value.
Right. It's tangible. It's bricks and mortar. So it must be a safe bet, right? Wrong.
Absolutely. Market fluctuations, economic downturns, these things can hit property values hard.
And location? Hugely important. A declining neighborhood can really drag down your investment.
Oh, for sure. Due diligence is key. You can't just buy any property and expect it to appreciate. Speaking of which, another myth, that real estate is only for the wealthy.
Yeah, that's a big one. I could never afford to invest in property, people say, but there are so many financing options available now.
There are. Mortgages, loans, REITs, even crowdfunding platforms.
It makes property investment much more accessible than people think, but it's still not a get-rich-quick scheme, right?
Definitely not. That's another myth we need to bust. Property investment is a long game. It takes time, patience, and a solid strategy.
And effort. Managing properties isn't passive income. Tenants, repairs, legal issues. It can be a lot of work.
It certainly can. So, let's talk about cash flow. Is it always positive? Another myth suggests it is.
Well, ideally, rental income should exceed expenses, but that's not always the case. Vacancies, unexpected repairs, these can eat into your profits.
And what about leverage? Using debt to finance your investments can magnify returns, but... It also magnifies losses. It's a double-edged sword. If the market turns, you could be in trouble. Precisely. Risk assessment is essential. Now let's delve into the historical context. The subprime mortgage crisis, for example. What lessons can we learn from that?
A lot, actually. It exposed the dangers of lax lending standards, risky mortgage products, and, unchecked speculation.
It did. The housing bubble burst, and the consequences were devastating.
Millions lost their homes. The financial system teetered on the brink of collapse. A stark reminder of the risks involved.
A grim reminder, indeed. And it highlights the importance of regulation, oversight, and... a healthy dose of skepticism.
Absolutely. We need to understand the factors that contribute to these bubbles. Easy credit, speculative behavior, flawed financial models.
And the role of government policies, both in fueling the boom and in responding to the bust.
Right. The interplay of these factors is complex, and it's crucial to learn from the past to avoid repeating those mistakes.
So, picking up on the subprime crisis, the sheer scale of it is just... mind-boggling. Trillions of dollars in mortgages, millions of foreclosures.
It's staggering. And the human cost? Devastating. Millions lost their homes, their livelihoods, everything.
And you know, we were talking about speculation and lax lending standards, but the role of these complex financial instruments, these mortgage-backed securities and CDOs, it's crucial to understand that, right?
Absolutely. These things were designed to spread risk, theoretically, but in reality, they amplified it. They became these ticking time bombs, essentially.
Right. And the credit rating agencies. Giving these risky securities top ratings, it's like giving a loaded gun to a child. Utterly irresponsible.
I mean, how could they not see the danger? Were they just blinded by the profits, or was it something more sinister?
Well, the SEIC report pointed to flawed models. Pressure from financial firms, the drive for market share, a whole cocktail of factors, really.
It's a systemic failure. And then there's the shadow banking system operating outside of traditional regulations. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole other layer of risk, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. It's this massive, opaque network of financial institutions lending and borrowing trillions of dollars with little to no oversight.
And when the music stopped, they were left holding the bag. Forced to deleverage, sell assets at fire sale prices. It created this cascading effect, didn't it?
It absolutely did. It's like a domino effect. One institution falls, and then another, and another. The whole system starts to crumble.
And the government's response? Bailouts, quantitative easing, unprecedented interventions to try and stabilize the system.
Yeah. And, you know, looking back, it's easy to point fingers, but it's a complex web of interconnected factors: greed, deregulation, flawed models, lack of oversight.
And human psychology, right? This irrational exuberance, this belief that housing prices would just keep going up. It's like a collective delusion.
So picking up on that thread of the subprime crisis, it's clear that the sheer complexity of the whole thing is just... Well, it's overwhelming, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, where do you even begin? We've got lax lending standards, complex financial instruments like CDOs, credit rating agencies asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recipe for disaster, right?
Exactly. And then you layer on top of that the shadow banking system operating with little oversight. It's like a whole other dimension of risk.
It is. And it's so interconnected. One piece fails, and it triggers this cascading effect throughout the entire system. It's terrifying, frankly.
It is. Let's talk about those credit default swaps for a second. Warren Buffett called derivatives like these financial weapons of mass destruction. He saw it coming, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And Greenspan, I mean, he admitted to shocked disbelief. He trusted the market to self-correct, but, well, we saw how that turned out.
It's a humbling reminder that even the experts can be wrong. Spectacularly wrong. And the SEC's role in all of this? The 2004 decision that allowed investment banks to increase their leverage?
Mm-hmm.
That added fuel to the fire, didn't it?
It arguably did, yes. Though some argue that the roots of the problem go back even further to the late 70s. It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
Mm-hmm. It is. And the role of government policies, the push for affordable housing, the mandates for Fannie and Freddie, that played a role, right?
Well, that's a contentious point. Some argue that those policies were a major contributor, while others claim they were not the primary cause. The research is, well, it's mixed, to say the least. Some point to the global nature of the crisis, affecting commercial real estate as well, which goes beyond U.S. housing policy.
Right. And the Community Reinvestment Act, that gets brought up a lot, too. Did it contribute to risky lending? Again, it's a debate. The FCIC report downplayed its role, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's other research suggesting otherwise, isn't there?
Mm-mm.
There is. It's a complicated picture. And then there's the whole issue of silent second loans, where borrowers essentially hid their debt from the primary lender. That couldn't have helped, could it?
No, not at all. It seems like so many factors contributed, each exacerbating the others. It's a tangled web.
It is. And then you have the Fed's role. The low interest rates in the early 2000s, some argue that created a climate of excessive risk-taking. It's like when money is cheap, people are more willing to gamble, right?
So picking up on that thread of the subprime crisis, it's clear that the sheer complexity of the whole thing is just... Wow, it's overwhelming, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, where do you even begin? We've got lax lending standards, complex financial instruments like CDOs, credit rating agencies asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recipe for disaster, right? And the shadow banking system, don't even get me started. Trillions of dollars floating around with virtually no oversight.
It's like a parallel universe of finance operating outside the traditional regulations. And when things went south, it amplified the crisis, didn't it? This cascading effect. One institution falls and then another and another.
Exactly. It's terrifying, frankly. And then you have these financial weapons of mass destruction, as Warren Buffett so aptly put it, these credit default swaps and other derivatives. It's like they were engineered to magnify risk, not mitigate it.
He saw it coming. And Greenspan? Shock disbelief. Wow. It really underscores how even the so-called experts can be completely blindsided. And the SEC. Loosening those leverage restrictions in 2004. Didn't that pour gasoline on the fire?
Well, some would argue that. Others might trace the roots back even further. It's a complex issue with no easy answers, that's for sure.
It is. And the role of government policies, the push for affordable housing, Fannie and Freddie? Oh, it's a contentious issue, isn't it? Some say those policies contributed significantly. Others disagree. The research is, man. Well, it's all over the map.
Yeah. And the Community Reinvestment Act, did it encourage risky lending? Again, a debate with no easy resolution. And then you have these silent second loans, borrowers hiding their debt. It's like everyone was playing a game of financial hide and seek with disastrous consequences.
It's this tangled web of interconnected factors. The Fed's low interest rates, the irrational exuberance in the housing market, the complexity of the financial instruments. It all came together to create this perfect storm.
A perfect storm indeed. And the aftermath? Millions losing their homes, livelihoods, everything. Trillions of dollars and losses. It's just staggering.
It is. And the government's response? Bailouts, quantitative easing, unprecedented interventions. It makes you wonder, what lessons have we really learned?
Have we addressed the root causes, or are we just setting ourselves up for another crisis down the road?
Vielli Beck.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think we've made some progress with Dodd-Frank and other reforms, but have we really fixed the systemic issues, the too-big-to-fail problem? The shadow banking system? I'm not so sure. And then there's the human element, greed, speculation, the herd mentality. These things are hard to regulate.
They are. But we have to try. We need more transparency, more accountability, and, well, a healthy dose of skepticism. We can't afford to be complacent. We need to remember the lessons of the past while we're doomed to repeat them.
I agree. Well, on that sobering note, I think we'll wrap up this episode of The Real Estate Mirage. Thanks for joining us. And we hope this discussion has shed some light on the complexities of the real estate market and the importance of informed decision-making.